It's really been a blessing to be here. Well, I hope I don't satisfy you all so much you never invite me back, because I have really enjoyed being here. If nothing else is said, what that preacher said, amen, set my soul on fire. Yeah. And that's what we need. We need old-fashioned preaching. Yeah. Now, I want to tell you right off the bat, I was not raised in a church. I didn't get saved until I was 30 years old. And I think we have the biggest problem among PK kids, preachers' kids, amen? They've had it too easy, and, you know, they've never been out there. They don't know what's out there. And then they want to go see what's out there, and they get all hung up in it. But I thank God that, you know, the way he brought me was totally different. And I have my wife with me. We've been married 51 years, amen? And I tell people I've done half of my life sentence. I got 49 more to go, amen. I think I'll be out of here. But and seriously, you know, we've never had a fight. Never had a fight. Yep. Just one. And you know it's still going, right? A winner hasn't been declared yet, so I thank God for her. 2019, when the COVID came, was a real blessing for me. It got all the Jehovah's Witnesses off the street. First of all, amen. Because if you're fake and phony, you're not going to be out there. Our church didn't close down one day. But it was during that time I had to take my wife to the hospital because she had cancer. It was third stage. And so we were going back and forth, and there was no traffic. Thank God for COVID. Amen. So we could get in, and it wasn't very many people there. And so she had, as someone said, lost all of her hair and everything. And, you know, God has restored her. Amen. She's just as beautiful as the day I met her. So I just thank God for that. And now you all pray for us. We're in Chicago. We're in Inglewood, the Inglewood area. And if you know anything about Chicago, that's one of the worst areas. Amen. It's what I call it, the drug capital. But we've been right in that area, and God has taken care of us. And I had some of my people tell me, preacher, you preach too much about politics. And I reminded them, we have a king by the name of Jesus. Yes. Amen. Yes. And there's a kingdom that we're supposed to be in. And that's politics. First Chronicles, Second Chronicles talks about what the kings did. Amen. And so I thank God for being in politics. I'm serving a king. I'm an ambassador. Amen. Amen. And I thank God for what he has done for me. I'm going to get to the message in a moment. Because I wrote stuff on this paper, but I don't know what's going to happen. Amen. I will try to stick, as they say, to the program. But sometimes the program and I, we get lost here. But I do want to tell you this about me, because this is the first time I've been here. I don't feel like a fly in the buttermilk. I'm going to let y'all get that. Because I am the fly in the buttermilk. Amen. But since I got saved, color doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Amen. It's what's in the soul. That's the most important thing. And I think today we have too much emphasis on the outside rather than talking about what's on the inside. Not focusing on the eternal, but we're focusing on being happy here. A house, two-car garage, and all that. You're going to leave it anyway, man. It's one thing. Probably shouldn't be happy about this, but millionaires do not take millions to heaven with them. Amen?
Yeah, right.
Someone said, I've never seen a hearse carrying a U-Haul behind it. They're going to plant you away. We're all graveyard travelers. Now, before I get started, I do want to tell you a little of my testimony. March 3rd, 1980. I'll never forget it. I was 33 years old. That was when I got saved. You say, how you know you got saved? Because I'm doing things and saying things that I wouldn't say, nor would I do. I'm not blaming drugs, but I was into drugs a little bit, marijuana. I was really involved in trying to make a woman into a prostitute so that I could get a lot of money and then go buy a lot of bullets to kill up all the white people. And this was because my heart had become so bitter. Amen. I had so much hate in me. And it was because I learned about Black history the hard way. There was no God involved in it. And that's why when my kids came along, I made sure that they knew their history and who they are. Jesus was a Jew. He knew that. Amen? Yeah. I knew that I was black, but I wasn't taught the right way. And so I got so angry and so mad that I blamed, as you said earlier, everybody else but me. One lady told me one time, she said, "You blind in one eye and can't see out the other." Amen? Because I was blaming the white people for all the problems that we have. And that night, March 3rd, 1980, I had a girlfriend. I'm married. Took my girlfriend to my best friend's house, and I let him use my van. I used his house. And I got sick and tired of me. Yes. And I made two mistakes. One, I called my mother. And the second one, I prayed. I called my mother, and she knew from my conversation I didn't have good sense. I wasn't in my right mind. And she said this. She said, "Boy, you need a God on your side." And I got mad at that. And I hung the phone up. And I told my mother. I told God. I said, "If you real, take me over." I said, "Devil, if you real, take me over. I'm tired of me." Amen. Yes. Can't get things right. And I heard this voice. It says, "I'm not black, I'm not white. You've tried everything else. Why don't you try me?" And I said, "If you're real, take me over." And he did. Bam! Something came in and something went out. And I have not been the same since. I did not know one scripture. I went looking for Jesus. I went home and my wife had some papers. And I said, "What is this?" And she was divorcing me. And I said, "How are you going to divorce Jesus?" I said, "Don't you know I'm Jesus?" Now, I was confused. My wife and mother, they're going to churches, right? So church my mother was going through was called Cathedral of Love. And so I went to that church. And at this time, I had a black coat on, black leather jacket, Black Panther tam on, big beard out to here, and a briefcase. So I walked in the church, and my mother and my wife, they did this. I saw them, amen. So I walked in, and I asked one of the guys there, I said, "How do I find Jesus?" And he said, "Come with me." He took me in the back room, and some men got around me, and they took me out the back door and kicked me out the church. I'm serious. I went to another church called the Church of the Good Shepherd. And I said, "I'm trying to find Jesus." Now, that preacher knew me. As a matter of fact, he was the head of the Board of Education in Chicago. I'd done some paintings for him. He had about 20 of my paintings. My girlfriend and I, we had done these paintings. And he cheated me, only gave me $150 per painting. Those paintings were worth more than that. But I didn't want to use my regular money for my drugs, so I took the $100 that he gave me for the paintings. And so I said, "Mr. Smith, I'd like to say something to Jesus. I'd like to say something to your congregation." He took me in my office, in his office, and he talked to me, and he showed me the back door. So I said, "I'm going to try this again to find Jesus." And Satan told me, he said, "Cut your heart open, take a little Bible, and put it in there." And he said, "That's how you get saved." My sister-in-law, my wife's sister, was going to a little church called Rain or Shine. And so I said, "Well, I'm going to go down there where they are." So I go down to Rain or Shine with my wife. She took me down there. And that old preacher was up preaching. Now, this church, it rained on one side, and on the other side, they had a roof. So when it was raining, they moved on the side where the roof was. But in that little church, this old man with a third grade education stood up and preached the gospel. And like you said, brother, I heard it for the first time in my life. I heard the gospel. Now, I got the Spirit on the street, but I got the Word of God in church. And when that preacher got through preaching, I don't know what happened, but I'm up in the front, giving the preacher my hand. And he said, "Son, you got anything you want to say?" All I could do was just cry, because I knew that somebody loved me. Amen. That he died on the cross for all of my sins. Amen? And I got saved.
Amen.
I go home, I tell my wife, and she said, Now to live 11 years, I put her through 11 years of hell. Going and coming, don't tell her where I'm going and when I'm coming. I told her, I said, you know, when the Lord saved me, called me to be a pastor. She said, you ain't even a Christian. So I said, listen, watch me. Yes. Sunday morning, Sunday night, whenever that church was open, I beat the preacher there. Amen. Yes, I'm sitting up in church. And I said, I'd never wear a suit. And so I had my wife make me a dashiki, African suit. And I had my beads on. The lady was sitting behind me and she said, he's got his pajamas on. Now that really made me mad. So what I did is I went out and I bought a real suit. Amen. And I came in with a real suit and tie on. And they thought they had a visitor. I kept following the preacher. We'd go soul winning on Saturday. And he wasn't a fundamental preacher, but he'd go soul winning. He went to a barbershop. And I saw something I hadn't seen in 20 years. A man getting a haircut. So I got the beard shaved off. I got a haircut. And when I came back to church, they didn't believe it was me. I was growing in grace. Amen. Because I knew that I needed Jesus. And I had to unlearn everything that I knew. So I just thank God that he saved me and given me this opportunity. So I don't take this lightly. Preacher, thank you for the invitation. Now let me get to the message. I don't know if I'm going to mess this up or not. Where that piano player at? Come on up here. The book of Deuteronomy, Leviticus 19. Let us stand for a moment. We're going to read a couple of scriptures here. Leviticus, the 19th chapter, verse number 18. Let us all read this one verse together, and then we'll go to another. And there it says altogether, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Then I want you to switch over to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verses 4 and 5. Deuteronomy 6, 4. I'll read the first and you all will read the fifth together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy might. Amen. And you may be seated. Now I'm going to read one from Matthew, and I do not like this scripture at all. If I could tear something out the Bible, amen, get away with it, this would be the one. Turn to the book of Matthew, the fifth chapter. Matthew, the fifth chapter. Verse number 44. I do not know why he put that here. But I say unto you, love your... Are you all with me?
Yeah.
All right, I don't feel like I'm alone here. Love your enemies and do what? Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. There's no way I can do that. But God in me. I can do all things. Don't we say that? Through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. God loves us. He gave his son for us. And so for a few moments, I want to deal with this. I think something that most of you have heard of. Critical race theory. But I ain't going to talk about that because most of you know about that, right? Which really is by some intellectual college fool. Want to come up with this idea that there's some bad people and there's some good people. I'm going to shoot a hole right in that right quick.
Okay.
You know, you said that the white people are bad and the black people are victims. Let's see what God has to say. Because my message is not about critical race theory, but it's about critical grace. And that's not a theory. Amen? It's been proven. In Romans 3:10, I think it reads like this. There is none righteous, no, not one.
Yeah. Amen.
So white folks, y'all bad. Say amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Black people, you bad.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Now, since we got that out the way, let's talk about grace. I was at a football camp. And with Brother Massey, were you there the year they gave me the Man of the Year award? Okay. They gave me this Man of the Year award. I think I've been around about 5 years, taking kids from the inner city down to the football camp. Usually take about 6 or 7. So they gave me those awards and read all this stuff about, you know, being in one spot for so long and blah, blah, blah. And it was a big award. And when they called my name, I came up crying. I didn't even know they knew I was there. There's only 2 black people down there. Amen. And they gave me this award. So I'm coming down, you know, Pastor Woodard, right? And I'm crying and everything. And I go over to him. I said, Pastor, I said, man, I said, I don't deserve this. And you know what he said? You're right. You really don't. Now, that's what grace is. God gives us stuff that we don't deserve at all. I don't deserve being here. Michael Jordan took a basketball, and that basketball took him around the world. Louis Armstrong took a trumpet, took him around the world. This Bible right here, if you really believe in it, it will take you further than you think you would ever go. It'll take you to places that you thought you would never be in. It'll make you love people that you used to hate. I'm so glad I got saved.
Yes.
I am really trying to get over what happened to me March 3rd, 1980. That's why I said it's dangerous to come up in the church not knowing that who Jesus really is. Knowing of him, but not really knowing him.
Yeah.
See, someone comes in my house, I know somebody there. Amen?
Right.
How is Jesus going to live in you and you don't know he's there? You're using the same language that you used before. You're going to the same places that you used to go. You're saying the same things, and there's no change in your life.
Right.
Now, critical grace theory says there ought to be a change. Kind of dovetail, you almost preach my sermon about growth. Amen?
Yeah.
And so, subtitle would be this. When are you going to grow up? Grow up!
Amen.
Too many times we see one man trying to do it all. Amen?
Right.
Driving the bus, pastoring the church. I did it for about 20 years, and then God started sending me men because I started praying for some help. Amen? And I started seeing people grow up and realize, just like Michael Jordan, you can't do it all by yourself. You're going to need some help. And that's why God gave us the church to continue on the work. And he doesn't work by committees. He works by individuals. Amen? Someplace along the line, God ought to touch your heart to get involved with the church, with the man of God, doing the things of God. Grace and truth came by one man. Huh? Just by one. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. St. John 1. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Full of what? Full of what? Of grace and truth. You ever heard people say he's full of it? Amen? Big wine, alcohol, or whatever. You know he's got something. Well, when you got Jesus, amen, you're full of something. You ought to be full of his grace. Did you all find that yet? St. John 1:14. Got it? Got it? I like people talking back to me. Amen? Now, your pastor kind of warned me so they may not talk. Amen? Here we go. And the Word was made flesh. Together? Uh-huh. Jesus was full of it. He was full of the grace of God. Now, the grace of God is... yeah, it comes out of love, but it's not exactly love. It's God looking and doing through his love at you. You know, the Bible tells us that we're in the New Testament. We're not under the law. If you all were under the law, you'd have a bunch of oxen and sheep and all that kind of stuff out there to sacrifice. Amen?
Amen.
And your poor pastor would have to kill it and drain the blood out of it. It would be a mess. Thank God that Jesus Christ came. And he came, gave his life, so that we could have his grace. Now, what does his grace do? It does what the law cannot do. It helps us. All the law showed me is that I'm bad. I'm no good. Amen? But it's God that helps me do the things that I cannot do. You know, Noah found grace, it tells us in Genesis, the 6th chapter. You all turn so slow, I won't have you go there. Amen? But he found grace. There was nobody else there. I mean, there was a whole world. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
And it was only one man that found the grace of God. God looked on him and he saw a righteous man. That's what grace is. It's when God picks you out. You know, he could have picked a whole lot of other folks. He could have had somebody else here, not me. But it was by God's grace that I'm here today. And I thank him for that.
Amen.
We're to grow up. Amen?
Yes.
We're supposed to add to our faith. And I'm going to trust you all again. 1 Peter. Get to it quick. 1 Peter. I'm sorry. 2 Peter. 2 Peter, 1st chapter. 2 Peter. Go down to verse number 5. And besides this, giving all diligent. Now, verse 4 talks about 2 Peter 1, 4 says, wherefore are given unto us exceeding and precious what? Promises. And by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And it goes on down and it talks about, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, what's that? Charity, love. You know, we're supposed to keep on adding, adding.
Right.
That's grace. Growing, we call it growing in grace. Not race. Television, this news media is just pumping out hate, hate, hate. And we're becoming a nation of haters, amen?
Right.
Instead of a nation of lovers.
Right.
Now, I tried this hate thing, and I couldn't be consistent with it. Because there were some white people I did like. If I could just hate everybody, that'd be fine. But when I got saved, I found out I could love what? Everybody. This is what we need today. We need to realize that Jesus Christ is full of grace that he wants to bestow upon us.
Right.
Number two, we grow by adding to our faith, by yielding to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's talking to somebody right now, maybe some of you young folks. About something you could do.
Right.
I know when I got saved, I knew God had called me to preach, but I didn't want to preach. As a matter of fact, he told me, you're going to pastor it. He said, the more you talk about me, the stronger you're going to get. But my pastor needed somebody to clean the church. My pastor needed somebody to pick up people. My pastor needed somebody to go with him when he went soul winning. So I volunteered to do whatever the pastor needed me to do. Pastor came to me one day and he said, I'm going to make you a deacon. I said, I don't want to be a deacon. I cried. I did. Because I knew what God wanted me to do, but I didn't want to do what God wanted me to do. And I cried. So I became a deacon for about 2 or 3 years. But I just was not satisfied because I knew this wasn't what God wanted me to do. I helped him put the ceiling in the church, the pool in the back, the bathroom was broken down, and the ladies would have to go in there in the bathroom and they have to hold it with a chain. And so I got so mad at these men, and he would let us preach like on the third Sunday. And so my time came to preach. So I made some signs, being an art teacher. It said out of order. Now he had about 15 deacons and none of them would come down and help the pastor. I took those out of order signs and I hung it over each one of their heads. Amen. Now you got to remember, I just got saved. Amen. And I couldn't figure why they wanted to vote me out the church. They had a meeting and they called me into the meeting. Now folks, I can't sing. But I knew what was going to go down at the meeting. And my best friend that I had led to the Lord, he was a school teacher too. He taught English. His name was Mr. Pugh. I led him to the Lord. He was in charge of the Inquisition. So they called me in. He's sitting up there at the table. And I came down the aisle. And I did this. Down at the cross where my Savior died. There from cleansing from sin. Boy, it was terrible. They said, this is no joke. I said, it is if you think you're going to vote me, put me out the church because you didn't put me in the church, amen. God put me in the church. And they're always blaming you. They're blaming me because the pastor had gotten sick. He had a bad heart. And they said, you're killing the pastor. I said, no, you lazy buzzards. Y'all are the ones that are killing the pastor, amen. Boy, I was really growing in grace. Pastor gets out the hospital, makes me the superintendent of the Sunday school. I went from being a teacher, superintendent of the Sunday school, church is growing. And then I had to finally tell the pastor, listen, God wants me to preach. And I'm so glad I had that belief inside my heart. See, you're not going to be relieved, amen, until you get where God wants you to be.
Right.
And do what God wants you to do.
Yeah, right.
Think Pastor Ronnie said, God's going to break you. Amen. Folks, I wanted to be an evangelist. God says, no, you're going to be a pastor. Amen. You have to yield your will to his will. As a matter of fact, he has a better plan than you do. Man, I had a really good plan. Look, I'm a camper. My wife and I, we went into teaching so we could have 2 months off. I went to Canada, went down the coast, 13 states, went all the way down to Mexico. We went all around, went out to California. So I said, God, I want to be an evangelist. He said, sell that van. The boat that you carry on top, sell it. The motorcycle you got on the front, get rid of that, and the two bikes in the back. And I end up pastoring, looking at the same people. Week in and week out, got to come up with new stuff, amen? Then they're mad at you. 1 minute they're saying, amen, preacher, preacher, preacher. Go ahead, preacher. The next minute, oh, when's he going to get through? Listen, God has a better plan for you. This is called grace. It's called growing in grace. And when you obey and do what thus saith the Lord, that's when you see the blessings of God on your life.
Right.
Let me finish up with this. The glory. You see, God wants to get glory out of you. This is why you need to grow up.
Yeah.
God wants to show you off. Amen? And let me tell you something about God. He uses nothing. Because if you use something, he couldn't get no glory out of it. I'll give you three examples. Number one, God used a stick with Moses to go down there and whoop the greatest nation at that particular time, which was Egypt. A stick! Remember he talked to Joshua? So I want you to march around the city. In Joshua 6:16, y'all too slow, don't turn to it. Trust me. Trust me on this one. Trust me on this one. He says, this is what I want you to do after you marched around the building 7 times. Shout. Now, wait a minute. You use a stick and a shout. That ain't nothing. My wife's going to give me, that isn't nothing. Well, that isn't anything. But God can use nothing or anything. And then last of all, my favorite. Remember David? He took a sword and he said, I haven't proven this. What'd he do? One little stone he takes out of his pouch.
Right.
Shout, stick, stone. God can use anything or nothing. Because he's God.
Right.
We serve a God that's able to use, and some of y'all are thinking this, well, I ain't nothing. You're the perfect candidate. Because God know you didn't do it. And I mean, the people know you didn't do it.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
I'll conclude with this. God gets glory out of broken people. Noah, y'all know he got drunk. But God got glory out of Noah's life. Moses, the murderer. David, the adulterer. Naomi, the bitter woman. Rahab, the harlot. Preacher, this is the worst one. God got glory out of a dead man. Anybody remember the old man called Lazarus?
Yeah.
Huh? That was dead, not 3 but 4 days. How would you like, or how would you feel, if one of your relatives has been dead for 4 days, and then the next day they're sitting up at the table, what would you say to them? How's your trip? If Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, I'm sorry, if he had healed him before he was sick, he would have been nothing but a good doctor. Amen? But Jesus wanted to show us that he's not just a good doctor. He's God in the flesh. And if he can use dead folk, hello? And you're not dead yet. If I was you, I'd get to this altar and I said, Lord, that thing you've been putting on my heart, I want to do it.
Amen.
We're one generation from losing Christianity in this nation. As someone said, the 18, 17 years old, they go to college and that's their door out of the church. You ought to come today. And you ought to say, Lord, what will thou have for me to do?
Right.
You know, life isn't long. Job said, any man born of a woman, his days are few and full of what? Trouble. Why don't you decide today? This is going to be your day that you're going to decide. I want to do something for the Lord, not for the preacher. Amen. Not even for you, but I want to do it for God's glory because God can use me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Come on, preacher.
With our heads bowed this morning, our eyes closed, let's all stand this morning. The piano's going to play a hymn of her choice, invitation song. This morning, let me ask you a question. Perhaps today you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I'm not even saved. I don't even belong to the Lord. I never, there's not been a time in my life when I've turned to Christ and put my faith and trust in Him. If I died right now, I am not sure where I would spend eternity. In fact, if I died right now, I'd probably go to hell. Today, would you do this? Don't leave here not knowing for sure that Christ is your Savior. Step out from where you're standing and come down the middle aisle and say, Pastor Mass, I want to know for sure that I'm saved. I want to get born again today. I want to trust Christ as my Savior. And we'll not make you a Baptist. We're not going to do something crazy. We'll take the Bible from God's Word, show you how you can be saved. How you can know for sure that when you die, your sins have been forgiven, that heaven's your home, that God's your Father. If you died 2 hours ago, where would you be right now? Where would you be? Heaven or hell? You can't get there by your good works. You can't get there by being religious or by being a Baptist or by being sprinkled. You can only get there. You can only be saved by faith in Christ. Today, if you've not been saved, would you come this morning?